You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Student Pastor Josh Barnett.
Since it's Thanksgiving week, I'm going to be cliche and have a Thanksgiving sermon for you. I'm excited. Don't check out, though. I know it's easy to like, oh, we've heard about Thanksgiving. I know I'm supposed to be thankful. I know these things. I think it's easy to become familiar with things and just automatically check out. But I think it's important. I think it's important for us to hear these things over and over and over and over again. Because when we stand before God one day, he's not going to ask you if you heard it. He's going to ask you if you did it. And I think it's important to say things over and over and over again because they get in us and they become a part of us. And so I read this word over and over and over and over again because I'm supposed to become like this word. And so don't check out just because it may be familiar. I think Thanksgiving is an invaluable thing for us to understand and to apply to our lives. And our theme this year is a holy generation. And I think a holy generation is a thankful generation, because being thankful actually will help you in your holiness, because being thankful causes you to lean into him, and leaning into him causes you to become more like him. And we'll talk about that today. So Thanksgiving is a holiday that's nationally set aside to give God thanks. We remember the Pilgrims had the first Thanksgiving in Plymouth in the year 1620. Some 50 Pilgrims and around 90 Indians got together, and they feasted for 3 days. Can we take it back to 3 days? We're just at 1 day now. I would like to take it back to 3 days. I guess just me. I would like to take it back to 3 days. That would be awesome. But they celebrated this feast because of all that God had done for them and what he was providing for them. And then about 200 years later, Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday for us to set this day aside and honor God and thank God for all that he has done in our life. Thanksgiving means the act of giving thanks, the grateful acknowledgement of benefits, of favors, especially to God. So our Thanksgiving holiday, we celebrate God. We celebrate thankful, like what he has done for us. We give him thanks. It's not set aside for turkey and dressing or football or family. All of those things are fine, and those are ways that we can celebrate, but it's actually specifically set aside to give God thanks. And what I want to talk about this morning is how do we not just have Thanksgiving on one day, but we make Thanksgiving a lifestyle. A lifestyle that we live. How do we maintain what I want to talk about, maintaining a posture of a thankful heart this morning? A posture of a thankful heart. How do we make Thanksgiving a lifestyle? Thanksgiving is a form of worship to God. There's scriptures all through the Psalms, all through the New Testament about Thanksgiving being worship to God. And really, quite honestly, I think that Thanksgiving is the root of anything that's authentic when it comes to our praise and worship to God. Anything that is, when we come in here and we worship, anything that is actually authentic actually comes, the root of that is from a thankful heart. I believe that authentic praise comes from our lips whenever we keep Thanksgiving on our hearts. If you'll turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read it in a couple different translations to us. Just a few verses. Luke 17, verse 11. This is the story of the 10 lepers. Verse 11 says, "As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' He looked at them and said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, 'Praise God.' He fell at the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?' And Jesus said to him, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" That's the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation also. So hang with me here. Verse 11. "Jesus traveled on towards Jerusalem and passed through the border region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one village, 10 men approached him, but they kept their distance, for they were lepers. They shouted to him, 'Mighty Lord, our wonderful Master, won't you have mercy on us and heal us?' When Jesus stopped to look at them, he spoke the words, 'Go to be examined by the Jewish priest.' They set off. They were healed while walking along the way. One of them, a foreigner from Samaria, when he discovered he was completely healed, turned back to find Jesus, shouting out joyous praises and glorifying God. When he found Jesus, he fell at his feet and thanked him over and over, saying, "You are the Messiah." And this man was a Samaritan. So where are the other nine? Jesus asked. Weren't there ten who were healed? They all refused to return to give thanks and give glory to God, except you, a foreigner from Samaria. Then Jesus healed the man lying at his feet. "Arise and go. It was your faith that brought you salvation and healing." So it's interesting that only one returned and worshiped with thanksgiving, that he actually fell at his feet, thanking him over and over again. And what I want to unpack in this story is that thanksgiving actually brings us into more of God. It actually brings us into more of God's goodness. You know, thanksgiving isn't something that we can fake. Being thankful is not something that you can fake. Okay, so at Christmas, when we give gifts, and you give your kids a pair of socks, and they say thank you, but you know they're not actually grateful for those socks, right? And so, like, sometimes we get gifts, and we say with our mouth, "Thank you," but with our face, we say, "What did you get me, and why?" Like, it's hard to fake being thankful with your body language and your tone and your facial expression, right? And you know, sometimes men, we learn this the hard way, because just because she says she wants it or needs it doesn't actually mean that it should be a gift. Just because she says she needs a vacuum doesn't mean that it should be a Christmas present. Yay, a vacuum. Thank you. Right? So, like, doesn't mean that it should, just because she said she wants it doesn't mean that it actually is supposed to be a gift. So it's very easy to tell when somebody's ungrateful, even when they're saying thank you with their mouth. Right? It's easy to tell that they actually don't have thanksgiving in their heart, even though they say it with their mouth. You can't fake being thankful. I love in verse 19, Jesus says, "Arise and go. It was your faith that brought you salvation and healing." In the King James Version, it says, arise and go because your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. There were 10 who were healed of the disease, but might have still been missing body parts. Because leprosy basically caused things to rot and fall off of your body. Appendages, fingers, noses, ears is a real nasty disease. And some people believe that maybe they were healed of the disease, but they didn't get their appendages back. And believe that maybe this man, when he came in thanksgiving, that God completely restored his body. That maybe fingers began to grow again. Maybe a nose came back on his face. Maybe that he was brought to complete restoration. Or maybe they all received complete physical healing, but the one that returned received a spiritual healing as well. That God, whatever was going on in here, that God completely restored him, that he found salvation. Either way, the leper was healed, but we see in verse 19, it wasn't until he came back to Jesus that he was restored. Right? It wasn't until he came back to Jesus that we see he was restored. The other nine might have gone home disappointed because they were still missing something. But the one returned in thanksgiving because he had a revelation that he was never going to lose anything again. I'm never going to lose another finger. I'm never going to lose an ear. I'm never going to lose anything else. He got that revelation and he was overcome with thanksgiving. Now, why is this important to us? Because we always have reason to be thankful. We always have reason for thanksgiving. It's actually always possible to have a thankful heart no matter the circumstances. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ." In all circumstances, this is God's will for you. Ephesians 5:20, "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus." And then Paul, again in Colossians 3:15, commands us to be thankful. So we are commanded to always give thanks to God. Paul understood that this is a lifestyle that we live of being thankful. It's not a once a year celebration. I love that we set aside a time to just give thanks to God, but it's actually something that we're supposed to be thankful every day. We're supposed to walk in thanksgiving every day. You know, nothing makes us more bitter, more selfish, more discontent than an ungrateful heart. And nothing brings us more peace and joy than a thankful heart. And you know, ingratitude and ungratefulness is actually an indictment that God brought on all of us. Because in Romans 1:21, it says, "Although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. And so an ungrateful heart is actually one that is cold towards God and indifferent about his love and mercy. And it's actually sin. It's actually sin to be ungrateful. When Paul is commanding us to be grateful, it's actually sin to be ungrateful. You know, Philippians 4:12, this is Paul talking. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. See, we can be content despite the material possessions and people in our lives. You know, some of the happiest people in the world have hardly any material possessions, make very little money, are barely scraping by. Some of the happiest people in the world should be lonely because they have little or no family and friends. But you also can see that some of the most miserable people in the world are barely scraping by and have little material possessions, have little family. And so you can be happy either way or miserable either way. Some of the most miserable people in the world are some of the wealthiest people in the world. They have an abundance of blessing. They have more than enough. They have an abundance of family, good, awesome family, and they're miserable. But on the flip side, there's a group that's happy. And so if it doesn't depend on what I have and what I don't have, it doesn't depend on our circumstances, whether we are content or not, because happiness and contentment and joy is an inside job. It's an inside job. It all comes from a thankful heart. It doesn't depend on our external circumstances. If we can enter into the spirit of thanksgiving, it won't matter if we have $5 in our account or $5 million in our account. We can be content. It won't matter if we live in a single wide or a three-story house. We can be content. Paul was singing praises in prison. Peter and John were rejoicing after being beaten. They considered it a privilege to be persecuted for Christ. You know, it's interesting, the way that Jesus talked, it seems like the nine that went away ungrateful were Jews, and the one that returned was a Samaritan. The Jews were very learned. They were very religious. They hated Samaritans. They were actually racist towards Samaritans. A Samaritan would not have known the law. He would not have the training the Jews have had. Yet he was the one that returned calling him Messiah. He was the one that returned worshiping in thanksgiving. It's interesting that the ones who grew up in the religious system were the ones that went away ungrateful. And I believe that they were focusing I believe they were focusing on what wasn't restored to them. They were focusing on what they didn't have. And the spirit of religion always wants us to focus on our problems, on what we don't have, on what could be better, on what we think God is not doing. And this can very easily slip into our lives, very easily slips into the church. You know, even in worship, even in our service today, the spirit of religion gets us to focus on maybe a singer who is off key, or the song we don't like, or the pastor that you didn't want to preach today. It's not today, of course, but the pastor that you didn't want to preach today. You know, we, as a church, we're a family, and we can't come in here with a consumer mentality. This isn't Chick-fil-A. This is a church. This is a family. This is not a business. And families gather around tables and they serve one another. You know, honestly, the people that I meet in church that are the happiest are the ones that serve the most. And actually the ones that serve with a thankful heart, the ones that serve that don't grumble and complain about serving. You know, we don't come in here to place an order. We don't come here to be entertained. We come here to worship the Lord. We come here to serve one another. You know, I got to go on a mission trip last year to Honduras, the missionary that we support, Alvin Anderson and his family, and going into their church, they didn't have all the fancy equipment. They didn't have the fancy lights. They didn't have the fancy sound system. They didn't have the most gifted or talented people. They worshiped their pants off. Like, they were worshiping like crazy because they had Jesus. And that's all we need is Him, just Jesus. It's just Him. He was enough for them. The spirit of religion wants to focus on the performance rather than His presence. And I'm excited and thankful that He's here, that Jesus is here. He says that where two or more are gathered, I'm among them. And so really, all I need is one of you to show up and we'll have church, man. Jesus is really here. He's really here. You know, the early church seemed to be the most persecuted and have the most problems, but they seemed to be having a blast. They seemed to be having the time of their lives. They were rejoicing about being persecuted. And we grumble and complain because somebody sat in our seat. Or because the music's too quiet, or it's too loud, or it's too fast, or it's too slow. It's too hot in here, it's too cold in here, it's too early, it's too dark, it's too bright. It's so easy to nitpick and be critical on what's going on the outside. We should come into church with a grateful, expectant heart that, man, we get to go and encounter Jesus. That somebody coming into church today could encounter His presence and be forever changed. To come in with a thankful heart that I'm actually supposed to be an image bearer of Christ, and that when somebody, maybe a new person, comes into church and they come in contact with me, they're coming in contact with Jesus and they're forever going to get their life changed. That's how we approach coming into church together. That's how we approach coming in. Entitlement is the antithesis of thanksgiving. We can't be entitled. We can't be entitled. Grumbling and complaining is a sign of being entitled. The spirit of entitlement is never grateful because it feels as if it deserves what it's receiving. That it's owed to them. And man, if we just thought about what we really deserve. Come on. Let's sit down and think about what we really deserve. We could just sit here and be thankful and worship Him for His grace today. Just the whole time. We could sit here and worship that His mercy triumphed over His judgment in my life. Come on. You know, comparison is an enemy of thanksgiving. Comparing yourself to other people will kill your contentment. It will kill a thankful heart. You'll never be able to truly be thankful for what you do have if you're always comparing it to what you don't have. Good will never be good enough. Listen, there's always going to be somebody that's better looking. There's always going to be somebody that's better at your job than you are. There's always going to be somebody that's stronger. There's always going to be somebody that has more money. I think many times we allow social media to kill our thankfulness because we're looking at other people's highlight reels all day long instead of what God has placed in our hands right in front of us. And listen, I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to me too. To sit and scroll and see everybody else's highlight reels and start comparing my life to what they have. And what I don't have, instead of being thankful for what God has given me and stewarding what He has given me. And I felt pressed to say this morning by the Holy Spirit that gossip is a lack of thankfulness. That gossip is actually a lack of thankfulness. I think gossip many times is one of the most overlooked sins in the church. Because you wouldn't call it like a big sin, I guess, if you were labeling it. But the bottom line is, it's a lack of thankfulness. The root of gossip is actually pride. Thinking that we deserve more than we have or more than what your neighbor has. You know, if we had a thankful heart, we would be more interested in what God is doing and calling us to do than what other people were doing and saying. Ephesians 4:29 says that only good should come out of our mouth. Only what is necessary for the building up of other people. You know, instead of complaining about people, what if we thanked God for the people in our lives? Instead of complaining about our spouse and going to God and saying, God, change his heart, change her heart, change them. What if we, God, thank you so much for my spouse. Thank you so much for my wife. Thank you so much for my husband. Thank you so much that you've blessed me with them. Lord, change my heart towards them. Change my heart towards them. What if we, God, thank you so much for my boss. Thank you so much for, change my heart. Lord, fill me with your love and show me how to shine your light to him. Instead of coming in and just complaining about him. It's kind of funny too, like we get real excited and grateful for our job until we've been there for 6 months. Right? We're excited and we're grateful for our job that we got this new job or this new promotion or this new whatever, and then it becomes just the day in, day out routine. We start grumbling and we start complaining. Instead of, God, thank you so much that I have another day to build your kingdom. Thank you so much for this paycheck. Thank you so much for providing for me financially so that I can put a roof over my head and food on my table. Work might be a lot more bearable if we approach it that way. And listen, we can't allow entitlement and comparison to come into the way that we approach and the way that we view God. Thinking and acting like he owes us something. Can we worship him in thanksgiving before our breakthrough comes? Can we worship him in thanksgiving before our breakthrough, whatever we're praying for, comes to us? We have to constantly, and even when things are going good, you know, many times it's when things go really bad, then we're, oh God, I need you. But can we stay in thanksgiving even when things are awesome? Can we maintain the posture of God, I am desperate for you. I cannot do life without you. I have to have you in this. I need you in this. And we always, 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 always have something to be thankful for. Look at what he has done for us. Man, there's so many times that I just lose myself in worship. There's so many times where I'm just overwhelmed with his goodness. I'm overwhelmed by his grace. I'm overwhelmed by his love. And sometimes people tell me that I'm zealous because I'm young. Or because I'm trying to earn something from God. Or because I'm charismatic. It's actually none of those. I can't help it. Like, I can't help it. When I think about how good he is and what he's done for me, I can't help but shout these songs. If you sit in front of me during worship, I'm sorry. You're going to hear my terrible off-pitch voice because I can't help but sing it out. I usually try to sit behind Jason so that I just sing in his ear. But I can't help it. I can't help but dance. I can't help but lift my hands. I can't help but cry. I can't help but kneel. And I'm not worshiping like this to try to get God to love me, but because he does love me. Because he loves me? Are you kidding me? Oh! See, entitlement says that I thought he would pick me. Thanksgiving says of all people he should have picked, he picked me. Are you kidding me? That keeps me so thankful, because if you knew me before him, man, if you knew the real Josh Barnett, the old man that died, whew, you probably wouldn't be sitting here listening to me. Golly. But entitlement says he owes me more. Thanksgiving says, if this is all I ever experienced, I'm satisfied. The fact that he wanted me in his family and he bought me with his son's life, I will give him every second of every day of my life because he's worthy. I don't worship like I do to try to earn something from him or to try to find his love. I worship like I do because his love found me. And you know, our thankfulness should grow. Our thankfulness, why is it many times that it's the newborn believer is more thankful to God than the one who's been saved for 20 years? That's not the way that it should be. That's not the way that it should be. You know, at 19 years old is when I truly surrendered everything to the Lord. I had different moments and encounters and different things, but where I said, that's it, like, I'm done with me. I'm done with me, and I truly laid down my life. I was 19 years old. I turned 10 in October this year. And I'm more thankful for him today than I ever have been before. Everything that he's done in my life, my wife, my family, my home, my ministry, my friends, just the encounters that I've had with him, the way that he comes and wraps his arms around me time and time again. You know, when I first surrendered everything, man, I was really thankful that I was saved from hell. And I think that's a great thing to be thankful for, but that's actually pretty far down on my list now. I'm thankful that I'm saved from hell, but I've got so much more to be thankful for than just being thankful to be saved from hell. As I experience more and more of his goodness, as I learn to live in his kingdom and experience more and more of heaven on earth here in my life now, man, I'm so much more thankful now that what I was saved to experience, what I was saved to experience, not what I was saved from. That I was saved for his goodness, not from his wrath. I was saved from his wrath, but I'm so much more thankful for his goodness. I'm so much more thankful that I was saved to experience more and more of him. You know, having a thankful heart, living in a thankful posture actually causes us to live in rest too. It takes away our stress. It takes away our anxiety. We direct our focus. You know, and listen, I give God thanksgiving for even what's to come. Thank God for even what's to come. You know, I think sometimes we need to turn our wishful prayers into bold declarations of thanksgiving. Stand in your identity as his child. Declare things over your life like, God, I thank you so much that I am the head and not the tail. That I'm above and not beneath. That I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. That I'm the lender and not the borrower. That by his stripes I am healed. That I am an overcomer. That I am a child of God. Come on, think about what has he brought you out of that you need to remember this morning to build your faithful expectation of what's to come. What has he brought you out of that you need to remember this morning to build faithful expectation in what's to come? A constant awareness of thanksgiving builds our faith because we remember what God has done. Remembering what God has done reminds us that he will actually come through for us again. Listen, there's people in my life that I've been believing for years to be saved, to be set free. And the thing that gives me faith, the thing that gives me hope is because I saw him save me. I don't give up because he saved me. He set me free. So I believe that he can do it for them too. A thankful heart is a key to our consistency in life. You know, grumbling and complaining is the enemy of consistency. To get out of bed every day and think, oh, I'm doing this again. Man, that's a tough way to live. God actually doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to get your head kicked in for the next 40 years. He actually wants you to enjoy life. You know, to complain, man, these kids or this job or my spouse or my friends. Now I got to get up and go to church again. Because if I don't, I feel guilty. See, a thankful heart sees all these things as a privilege. I get to go to work again. I get to build the kingdom again. I get to raise my kids. I get to raise these babies, man. And there's people that can't have kids. Man, as stressful as it is sometimes, and I've wiped your butt 15 times today, but God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I get to raise my boys and my daughter. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our church service today. I'm thankful that I get to come in here and worship God with you amazing people today. God, I get to worship you, even when they don't play my favorite songs. Or they don't play a cooler video than they did last week. Or I've heard that sermon before. God, I'm just thankful that we get to host you today. I'm thankful that we get to come in here and host you today. But for some reason, many times, and listen, this is me too. This is something that God's been working on me. We come in and we think, man, I've heard this before. And we check out mentally. I've heard this before. You know, I say John 3:16. And everybody knows it because we've heard it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Have we really heard it? Because we need to hear it again and again and again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Man, we can't become familiar with that. We got to approach that with thanksgiving. Well, I've heard that song before. Have you really? Have you really heard it? Let's go through the words again. We live in this weird age where we come to church to be entertained, where we got to have something new and fresh and bigger and better and newer and flashier. Man, I'm cool with Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Man, and I'm nothing newer and flashier and lights and all that. That's just cool, man. It's awesome. Videos, they're great. They're awesome. But I don't come in here like with this, well, like this week's got to outdo last week. When Jesus is the focus, the awe and wonder are never lost. When he's the focus, the awe and wonder are never lost. When it becomes about us, we're always going to try and outdo what we did last time. It's about Jesus. It's not about the speaker. It's not about me. It's not about me performing for you. This isn't a circus. It's about Jesus. And all I ever want to do when I stand up here is show you how good he is. I don't ever want to point to myself. It's him. It's all about him. It's all about coming and staring at him and hosting his presence. A thankful heart causes us to draw near to him. And drawing near actually gives us a thankful heart. It's in the drawing near that he makes us more thankful. James 4:8, you draw near to me and I will draw near to you. A thankful heart causes us to draw near to him. Well, Josh, how can I be thankful when, what, fill in the blank, whatever it is. How can I be thankful? when this happened to me, or that happened to me, or they hurt me, or I'm misunderstood, or I've got all these unmet expectations, how can I be thankful? You know, I just want to let you know this. We've all got an excuse. We all have an excuse on why we can't approach God with thanksgiving. We all have an excuse. I can't pay my rent. I lost my job, or my car broke down. Man, I see people living in Thanksgiving who have buried their own babies, who have lost their kids. I see moms in here, single moms, where their husband left them for somebody else and they're living in Thanksgiving. It makes all my excuses seem really weak. If we can be a people who can come into God's presence with thanksgiving and gratitude, then he will bring our hearts restoration. Because whatever's going on in your world that you feel like is not enough, he says, I am enough. I am enough. We can always be thankful knowing that he's always with us, he's always near us, and that he will use our times of suffering to actually draw us closer to him. James 1:2-3, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. When the prophet Daniel learned that evil men were plotting against him to destroy him, in 6 verse 10, he got down on his knees, prayed, gave thanks to God, just as he had done before. In Colossians 1:12, it says you will even be able to thank God in the midst of pain and distress because you are privileged to share the lot of those living in the light. In Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Just like the one leper that came back in Thanksgiving, he wasn't only healed, he was restored, and God wants to restore you. He wants to restore you. Thanksgiving brings us near to him, and it's in the drawing near that he brings our restoration. Listen, we're so thankful when we get saved, but being saved is not the end. It's the beginning of a relationship with him. And he wants to bring us into his kingdom here on earth. And as you draw near, he gives you more and more and more. Thanksgiving is actually a gateway into more of him. I'm overwhelmed and thankful to him because when I get close, listen, he wants to take us from glory to glory. From one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. From one degree of goodness to the next degree of goodness. From one degree of joy to the next degree of joy. From one degree of peace to the next degree of peace. God gets better and better and better and better and better. He's so good. He's so good. Many times we allow our misplaced identity to rob us of a thankful heart. Whether you find it in your job or your family or your bank account, your misplaced identity will rob your thanksgiving. Listen, I'm thankful that I get to stand on this stage and speak, but I don't find my identity in it. If it was taken from me tomorrow, I would be okay, and I would still love God just as much. We have a Turkey Day Brook Hill retreat this weekend. And it's a really cool. I'm going to have a really cool opportunity to speak to about 400 high school and college age students. But you know what makes my heart? I mean, that's awesome. I'm excited about that. But you know what makes my heart come alive more than that? Sharing God's love with the one cashier at Walmart. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I will drive. A few weeks ago, I drove 2 hours to speak to 5 students for 20 minutes. Just because in that 20 minutes, I know that if I can show them the goodness of God, it could change destinies. It could change generational legacy. My identity isn't in the crowd. It isn't in the number. And listen, as a pastor, as a preacher, it's really easy to find my identity in that. But it's not in that. It's in him. I'm thankful for him. My thankful heart explodes with love for him. He's given me his heart, and his heart will leave the 99 to go after the one every time. He will walk. He's so good. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist, that his crowds were becoming bigger than John the Baptist, he left them to find one Samaritan woman at a well. He will go after the one every time. Thanksgiving is a gate. Psalms 104. The New King James says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The Passion Translation says you can pass through his open gates with a password of praise. You can come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. It's a gate into his glory. The leper returned to give God glory. God is glorified through our thanksgiving. It actually leads us into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is our gate into authentic praise. When we come into worship here at home, another church, wherever, we must come with our heart postured for thankfulness. Don't come in with a spirit of entitlement that says, like, God, blow my mind today. Come in with a spirit of thanksgiving that no matter your circumstances, he's already blown your mind. It's dangerous for us to treat the gospel with familiarity, to treat his sacrifice, his cross, and his resurrection casually. We must always treat it with overwhelming thanksgiving. We were actually designed to fall more in love with him, not less in love with him. This is an intimate relationship that we cultivate with him. It takes intentional pursuit. It takes an intentional drawing near. And just like I am more in love with my wife today than I was when we first got married, I am more in love with him today than when I first got saved. Because I have intentionally pursued him. I didn't get my healing and then leave. I came back to his feet and I was restored.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.